Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Just a couple verses here that we'll read and continue on in our journey. First one says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And your masters do the same things unto them forbearing. Threaten, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect to persons with him. I'll stop reading here, but while I'm thinking of this, that scripture there, and we're gonna go back to like the first three verses here that we'll talk about tonight. But we'll talk about doing things not to please men, but to please God. And knowing, I like that verse. Number 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And I didn't think about this until now, so I wanted to share it just in case I forget to share it when we get there. But I was told a story one time of a man that was a contractor, or a carpenter, I should say. And he told his boss, he said, I got one more house that I'm going to build, and after that, I am going to be retiring. And so the boss says, okay, all right, well, I appreciate you letting me know. He says, let me get some plans together, and I want you to build this house. And the man says, okay, and start working on it. But because he was thinking so much about retiring, he just cut every corner that he could cut, took every shortcut that he could, and did very shoddy work, and just enough to get by. But he just, I just want to get rid of it, get done with this house so I can retire, and I ain't got to worry about nothing else. Well, after he, got all the work done, and, his boss told him, he said, yeah, I just want to thank you for all the years that you worked with me and everything, and, this house that you built, I wanted you to know that I'm giving this house to you. I want to thank you for everything that you did for me. I'm giving this one to you. And when he realized how he had, just worked very shoddy, he realized I unsaved the house once. But it was all because of what he did, right? And the scripture said, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, right? Whether he be bond or free. So when we're working or doing something for the Lord, we got to put our best foot forward. Everything we do for God, we got to put our best foot forward. And like I said, we'll get there. We're not there tonight, but I was thinking about that, and I wanted to just reiterate, if you don't work for Brother Zach, I learned a long time ago that I don't work just for the people of the church. I work for God, right? And whatever he wants me to do, that's what I do. And so we all understand that we serve God. We work for God. Whatever he has for us, that's what we want to do. It is under the umbrella of the church, Spiritual Tabernacle. But we got to understand that we work for the Lord. We got to give our best whenever we're working for God. Amen. And you want God's best. He also wants your best. Going here to slide 3, just these key statements in this section that we will cover. Divine love is one of the most powerful forces. It's one of the greatest forces in the world. And when divine love has been rejected and comes to its end, then sovereign grace will take its place. Thank God for that. When sovereign, when divine love comes to us in, that sovereign grace takes place. This next statement says, do you realize, being the son or daughter of God, that you are a minor being? Amen. As a son or daughter of God, you are a minor creator. Blessed be his holy name. Another statement says, God's bringing forth a bunch of bones and putting skin on it, and the power of the Holy Ghost that will bring the gospel in this last days with signs and wonders to the end of the world. They'll teach the Bible. They'll stand by it. They'll live by it. They'll not compromise right or left. Amen. I'm glad I can say I'm one of them. Amen. This next statement says, God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. Amen. We remember that from last week. Brother Branham tells us how we should conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord. We should always reverence the house of the Lord. Amen. Each and every one of us are responsible for reverencing the house of the Lord. You know, when I was young, and I know people are a little different nowadays. I know they're a lot different, a lot different. But when I was young, if we didn't reverence the house of the Lord and our parents were not around, they had mothers in the church that would what we call make us mine.
Amen.
They had mothers in the church. They never asked for permission. Somehow they were granted permission that if they saw one of us doing bad, that mother had the permission to just spank us right there on the spot. And then after they spanked us, go tell our parents that they did. And then we got another spanking because we were in trouble with the mother of the church. Now, that's when I was young. I know nowadays you can't touch nobody's child. I realize that. But we'll have you in court before you know it. But I tell you what, when we're representing the house of God, it's okay to let the parent know, hey, I saw so-and-so doing this. And remember, you know, we got to reverence the house of the Lord. That God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet.
Amen.
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 Let me throw some things out there. It's not just, you know, not getting up and going back and forth to the bathroom and all that. You know, you're not supposed to chew gum in church.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The food is only for the babies. You know, don't bring chips in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't bring candy in the church.
Yeah.
Don't bring gum. You got a little mint, you know, for you know, the proper purpose. Amen. I understand that, but not candy. Not lollipops.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody?
Yeah.
We don't do that in the house of God. We reverence the house of the Lord. Glory to God, church.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, someone was telling me that, you know, we don't have a water fountain, so that's why some people, you know, bring a little water. Now, that's all it should be, water. Not a Coke. Sprite. No, none of that. Right? We shouldn't be doing any of that in the house of the Lord. That this place has got to be reverenced. But Brother Jack, we just in school. No, wherever the saints gather is the house of the Lord. If he was in my house.
Right.
If he was in my house, it's still the house of the Lord. Right? And we gotta reverence the house of the Lord. Amen. You don't change when you get into a building.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You reverence it right now.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. Next statement, it says, that's the way God builds his church for his eaglets, a high above the ambitions of this world. She's got a high ambition not to please men, but to please God. And then we're not here to please men, but to please God. All right. Now, there is an angel. This next one says, there is an angel, but this angel of the Lord that encamped, that are encamped about those that fear him, that fears him. See, now, it's It is a promise that sinners have angels, it's only the redeemed has angels. And I just think that's so important. Everybody don't have a guardian angel. I mean, they used to have them look, this little group of guys run around the city, call themselves the guardian angels, and trying to stop all the crime. And they're going to get themselves hurt, right? But people talk about guardian angels, but we need to understand, everybody ain't got one. Only those that fear the Lord have a guardian angel. Only those that fear God. Amen. The angel of the Lord is kept around about them that fear him and deliver them from all their troubles. All right. Okay, I'm slipping over here to slide 5. And actually, go start at 4. Start at 4. We talked about this last week, and I'll just mention this really quick. As children obey your parents, Ephesians 6:1-3. Children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I want to make sure we put that in the Lord. Make sure we stress that it's in the Lord, according to what Paul is saying. Sometimes we have kids, especially they get to be teenagers, and they'll have unbelieving parents that will try to get them to do things that go against the word of God. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Sometimes you get to a spot like that where you might be forced to have to leave your house or move out of the house because of some of the things that they're trying to make you do. Amen. You obey in the Lord. All right?
Amen.
Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I read this little statement here. It says, children, do you not know how to obey yourself in the house of God? Do you know this is the sanctuary of God? God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. It's the place of God where people are coming, meditating, trying to find salvation to the soul, trying to find the problems of the people's lives, trying to help someone. Now, when Brother Graham would say that, trying to find the problems of the people's lives, that's the spirit of discernment that's actually moving throughout the congregation. So Brother Graham will quite often say, hey, don't move right now. Because, when you move at the wrong time, it actually hinders the Spirit of God from being able to kind of move over the audience. And not only that, people get hindered because they're watching you rather than watching, God. Right, so that's why you gotta be very, very careful. So when you say, trying to find the problem, that's the spirit of discernment that's there. And let me tell you something, that spirit of discernment did not die when the prophet died. The spirit of discernment is still here. Sometimes you pick up on something like, oh, okay. There's been times where I knew the Lord had given me something to say, and I'm wondering why, and then all of a sudden I get to a certain spot and serve, oh, that's what it was from. That's it right there. Right? And you see, God will bring deliverance to the people, but we all got to be reverent in the house of God. It says, trying to find the problems of the people's lives, trying to help someone, the least you can do is be reverent, be quiet, get you a drink of water before church starts. Now, I'm moving on here a little bit with this. I recently took this, we took this scripture and we made it a part of the family series that we preached on. So I'm kind of going back and picking up something that I presented to you in the family series on this honoring your parents. And the next slide just gave 6 practical ways to honor your parents. And this gentleman by the name of Tim Keller says it's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. Remember the truth. Now, because if kids don't respect their parents, they ain't gonna respect their teachers. There's gonna be all kind of problems in school with that child if they don't respect their parents. For some of y'all kids, they have special places to send children that are disrespectful.
Right.
They have places, right? And
And typically, they'll get you in shape. If your parents can't get you in shape, I mean, back in the day, they used to send kids off to, what do they call them schools?
Boarding school.
Boarding school, or something corps, though. I can't think of the name.
Job corps.
Yeah. I mean, they used to send them off, and it's like they were going to the military. Right, but they made sure that you got respect. And actually, you got to like 18, and they can have like military. You're gonna learn in the military. I mean, this respect thing is, it runs deep, right? And it starts at home. If the children don't obey their parents, it's gonna start spilling over, school, church, everywhere, police. Right? I mean, anybody with authority over them, they're going to have a problem with until they end up in jail.
Yeah.
And they realize that no, you ain't going to run, you're going to do it your way.
That's right.
It's rules in jail. You want to go against the rules at home. There's rules everywhere you go.
Yeah.
There's rules on your job. You have to show up on time. If you don't, they'll find somebody else to replace you. Right? It's rules everywhere you go. You just can't, you know, I'm tired of these rules. Wait, find me a place on the earth where you can go and not have rules. If you're going to catch an airplane, it's a rule. You got to be there on time to catch the flight. You got to be there paying for your ticket. Hello. Everything you do, there's rules. When you get out there and drive on the highway, amen. You can't just make a left turn when you want to. You're at a light. No, you don't do that. It's rules.
Right.
You can't even go with a certain speed limit.
Yeah, right.
It's rules everywhere you go.
Yeah,
amen. Right? So here we gotta learn as the children have to learn the basis for every other kind of respect starts in the house. Oh Lord Jesus. And listen, I mean, all of us, is somebody's child. And, you know, we had to adhere to this. All of us, right? And, I mean, even me, my mama's sitting right here, but I'm still a child. And I got to respect and honor my mama.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, my title, pastor. But she's still mama.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. And listen, if you don't have that type of respect that for the role that mama has or the role that daddy has, you gotta have the respect. Sometimes you might not agree with them. Sometimes you might not be happy with them. But according to what God told you, you gotta be respectful.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Let me help you understand something. If you lose that respect just based on things that they do or something they say, I'm gonna just lose that respect. What Satan's gonna do is get you set up where you're gonna start disrespecting your parents, and then it's gonna spill over to everybody
exactly.
else. Sometimes it's not just humbling yourself down to your parents, it's actually humbling yourself to the Word of God.
Amen.
God, you told me to respect.
That's good.
Yeah. Honor and respect. He says it's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. Oh, glory. This next statement, this man says, we are to honor our parents in childhood and adulthood. But we owe them a debt of honor that never ends.
Amen.
Respect and honor to your parents, it never ends. Even
Amen.
When you leave a house, you still got to honor them.
Amen.
Hello, I know you're grown, I know you're paying bills, but you don't walk back in here and talk to me in accountability.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello. You still ain't gonna walk in here and just treat me in accountability. I'm still mama, I'm still dad. Amen.
Amen.
All right. This other statement this man, Tim Keller, says, I understand that in some cases showing honor may be difficult or very nearly impossible, but still God requires you to honor and obey your parents. Six ways that we can do it. The first one is speak well of them. It's so important that you do that. Always try to say something nice. Find something nice you can say about your mama. And hello,
yeah.
Your daddy.
Yeah.
A lot of people got a lot of nice things to say about their mama. And they act like their daddy when he was born or something. The way you got here is through your daddy and mama. So you got to find something you can say well about your daddy. Speak well of both of them, both of them. Amen?
Amen.
Other statement this man says is, seek their wisdom. Seek their wisdom. It's a known problem in families. What that problem is that the kids love to bring division in the house by going to mama and getting certain advice or whatever, and then maybe going to dad and getting something else. And they bring this division in the house. Parents, y'all got to know these kids playing that game.
Right.
Amen. This man, Tim Keller, says it'd be good to seek the wisdom of your parents. Seek, you know, even Brother Randall talks about how mama's one that teaches you, but then daddy comes along and some of his experience that he's had, he can offer that to you. And sometimes all you got to do is seek the wisdom, right? And I advise you, get both. Don't just go to one, get both of them. Sit them both down. Can I talk to you? I want to just kind of see what y'all thoughts is on this. Don't just go to one that you know will always be on your side. Don't understand the other side of it. Amen.
Amen.
Seek their wisdom. This other statement here is, esteem them publicly and privately. Oh, I like that. Esteem your parents publicly and privately. It kind of goes right along with speak well of them, but privately you want to say things that will, show them. Just tell them how much you appreciate them, how much you thank them. If you thank them for this and things like that, say that privately, but also say it publicly. Oftentimes, when I was working, some of I was intentional about if somebody was coming behind me, especially a lady coming behind me, I always opened the door for them. I just did that, open the door. And oftentimes I say, you don't find many gentlemen anymore. Well, the first thing I say, my mom and my daddy, they that's the way they raised me. I'm just a product of the environment that I was in. It's just they taught us these things, so that's what we do. But always publicly telling what my mom and daddy did for me, right? Esteem, public and private. Number four, we have their support. Then support your parents, and this support is sometimes it's financial, but sometimes it might not be financial. Sometimes it's simply just it could just be spending time with them. Amen. Let them know you got them, and sometimes, when you get to a certain age, your parents might come to get some advice from you.
Right.
Support them, give them some advice. Amen.
Amen.
You come and ask me, you should, come on. You got a little experience, they respect that, so just, amen, support them. Every way you can, support them. Be there for mama and for daddy. Well, he wasn't never there for me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what the Bible says. Are you the child? Okay, just do what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you one of the other things that we have. We listen too much to worldly counsel.
Right. That's good.
We listen too much to worldly counsel. I'm going to go a little further. We watch too much nonsense on Facebook, Instagram, other people's lives, people that are not Christians. They're not Christians. And they just be feeding. Every problem in your life is not because of your parents. Oh, Lord. Everybody want to blame it on, my daddy didn't do this, and my mama didn't do this. No, that's not why you're going through what you're going through. It's not that you made that decision yourself, and that's why you're going through what you're going through. But if my mom was different, then I would be, no. You had opportunities to make your own choices. You know, I got a uncle that made it to general in the army. But if he knew where he came from, he could have blamed his daddy for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. My granddaddy wasn't there. Mm-hmm. My granddaddy was playing numbers. Mm-hmm. My granddaddy wanted money to chase the dogs. That's what my granddaddy wanted to do. Right? But he was still my granddaddy. Mm-hmm. Right? But if my uncle would have blamed all his failures because my daddy did, so my daddy, he would have never made it to a general, four-star general. And oftentimes, I mean, I hate to say it, but we're living in a world where people want to blame everybody else but themselves.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want to take the responsibility. And we just feed into this. The scripture tells us, blessed is a man that walketh not and the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
Let the word of God change it. Let the word of God fix the situation. Oh, this still actually this next one, the six practical ways to honor your parents. The next one says, forgive them.
Amen.
Stop blaming them. Forgive them.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. When you truly forgive somebody, you don't keep bringing up their past.
Amen.
When you truly forgive them, you don't keep bringing up their past.
Amen.
This last one, provide for them. Provide for them. Do all you can to provide for your parents. Everything you can. There's some quotes here that I'd like to read. This isn't the message who we have to continue to see. But Ram says, and young people, remember, if you're fortunate enough today to have a daddy and a mother living, love them. Honor them. The hour will come when you'll think they're the greatest people in the world. If you don't now. Don't never, little fella, don't never get this slander word, old man and old woman. That's not the old man and old woman. That's daddy and mother. And some of these days, when if they go out in the room and the casket falls, you'll hear them lower down to the ground and say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It won't be the old man then. It won't be the old woman. It'll be mother. You'll be wringing your hands and crying. That's right. Now, while she's a living, give her flowers now. And look at this next statement. And give dad his flowers. If I could encourage you all tonight, sometimes kids will approach mom and they just got all the negative things to say about dad. Mama, just ask your child, what flower can you give your daddy? What flower can you give your daddy? And you know, I'm a product of being raised by a stepdad. That's all I knew is dad. I got a biological father, but he just wasn't there. I just wasn't there. I didn't hear much from him. I didn't really know him that well. But the flower that I could give him, you brought me into this world. God had to use you to bring me. And I'm so grateful that I come into this world through you.
I haven't had a chance to get to know God the way I have known God. I thank you for what you, you know, I thank you just for bringing me here. Amen. I mean, I was not privileged to be able to get a lot from him, and he always told me he was going to have all this for me and all that for me, but I remember when he passed, he didn't have nothing. I ended up paying for his funeral. That was another flower I gave him. But I also sat at the bedside and we had a chance to talk about the sinner's prayer. And to talk about giving his heart to the Lord Jesus. So my expectation, that I see him on the other side. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I can't go to the other side with ill feelings in my heart concerning my father. I got to let that stuff go here on this side. I want to encourage you, if that's your story, you need to let all that go. That they say forgive them, that's what you got to do. Just let it go. Daddy, I forgive you. Mama, I forgive you. And just let it go. Amen. Here, the prophet Hogan say this. He says, while she's living, give her flowers. Now I'm your dad, this flower, that's right. And the best flower you could give them, I like this. The best flower you could give them is obey them. All right, and he says, and that's the first promise in the Bible, the first commandment and promise, honor thy father and mother, which may live in the day, live in the days upon the earth that the Lord gave thee. Amen. This next quote out of Questions and Answers, part one. What can I do for him? Should I continue to care for dad on the farm? What can I do, make a living for? And he signs his name. And Brother Brandon said, yes, my brother. It's wrote here. I don't know. Like I said, Brother Brandon just starts out, what can I do for him? Now, probably some boy for his dad. Look, my brother, blessed are you when you will take care of your dad. Blessed are you when you will take care of your dad. Amen. For your dad took care of you when you could not take care for yourself. So you're actually blessed when you're able to take care of your parent. Amen. Because that's now you're giving back to them. If life has come full circle, you're giving back to them the way that they gave to you. And without any stipulations.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Without stipulations. It's just from your heart. You were there for me, now I want to be there for you. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are you when you will take care of your dad. Your dad took care of you when you could not take care of yourself. And the first commandment with promise, honor thy father and thy mother, which may lengthen the days upon the earth that the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, yeah, take care of dad any way that you can. And look at that one. See that he gets the very best. In this business that we're in, we see a lot of families. We see a lot of people, unfortunately, when they get older. And all these children all over the place. Many of them live up north. And mom and daddy just sit down and just suffer. And the kids won't come nowhere near. Handle everything over the telephone. Never come visit, nothing. And it's sometimes a very, very sad sight to see, but I'm always, anytime I see a family where the kids are actively involved in care, I'm always admiring that family. I always tell them, it's so good to see y'all doing this for your parents. It's so good to see it, because oftentimes there are many that just, they almost do this, they die alone. They die alone. No, nobody there to support, nobody there. And, I mean, and it's just, it get real sad. They get real sad. Here, Brother Ramsey, give him the very best. They were very, and sometimes these parents have already saved up enough money to kind of take care of themselves. But what the kids do is kind of give them something a little less because they see that money too. And what they want to do is get a hold of that money. It's sad. Money make people make some really, really bad decisions. Now sometimes I was reading a little article today that was saying that when parents leave a lot of money to their kids grow up without developing character. And they just mess up a lot of stuff. They go through the money real quick because they don't understand the value of it. Right, so they go through it real quick, they just mess all over it. These fellas went through their daddy with millions of dollars just like that, just went through it. Because they didn't earn it themselves. Had they earned it, if they split it for it, they would have never went through that money like that. So it's not saying don't leave anything for your kids, but make sure you leave some character somehow. Outside of the money, make sure you leave some character. Amen. So they don't just go through things. Maybe teach them how to invest. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here, you know, take care of dad any way that you can. See that he gets his very best. This next sermon, love. Brother Brown says, this is telling a little story about this young lady that did not honor her mother. Here, some time ago, a little story was told me of a mother. A young girl had been away to college, and on the road back, she brought a young girl home with her. And the girl was one of those little modern snicker fritz, we call it, you know. Just kind of a little feisty, so her mother was out to meet her. So when the young lady looked around and seen the mother, the young lady that was with her said, "Oh, who is that old hag?" Because she was all scarred up. The young lady had been away. She was ashamed to say it was her mother because her little self-styled friend had said she looked like a hag. So when they had to finally leave the train, the mother ran up to the door and said, "Oh, darling, I'm so glad to see you." And the girl turned her back and walked away. She was ashamed of her ugly-looking mother in sight. Presence of her little girlfriend from college, what happened? It happened to be the conductor that was standing there with the case. It caught that young girl and turned her around. Said, "Mary, what makes you act like that? What's happened to you since you've been away?" Said to the girl that was with her, said, "No doubt, but what you're looking at, that ugly mother of hers." She said, the conductor said, "I've seen a day when she was twice as pretty as her daughter will ever be." But said, "I happen to live in the neighborhood. This girl with a baby upstairs. Her mother was in the backyard washing. All of a sudden, the fire engines run up and come to find out the house was on fire. It was caught, and there was no possible chance for the baby to be saved. This mother ran through those blazes, a beautiful woman, run through the blazes and grabbed the baby and jerked her clothes from her body and wrapped the baby's face up in it and rushed through those blazes back, and that's what made her ugly. It tore the meat from her face. And she's all bent over where the fires draw her down. Said, and the reason you're pretty, that's why she was made ugly, so you could be pretty. And then you're ashamed of her?" When I heard the story, that's right, what Jesus became for us, he became death and sin, that we who really guilty and sinners are mine, you say, if that had been my mother, I have been proud about her. What about your Lord tonight? Are you really ashamed of him? Are you really proud that he saved you? And you're willing to give a and you're willing to give a testimony? Divine love is one of the most powerful forces. It's one of the greatest forces in the world. And when divine love has been projected and comes to its end, then sovereign grace will take its place. That's my text. When divine love has been projected, project divine love, and it comes to its end till it can't go no farther, then sovereign grace will come in and take its place. Now, do you realize, being a son and daughter of God, that you are a mighty creator? Do you know you create the atmosphere that you live in? Do you realize the atmosphere that you dwell in, you influence somebody else? What makes people act the way they do? What makes drunks like to be with drunks? As my mother used to say, the old proverb, and I think it's southern here, two birds of a feather flock together because they have things in common. And I just love the way Brother Brandon just gives that, the illustration of that story. This young lady just completely embarrassed because her mama was not approved by a friend. But if the young lady would have been honoring her mother the way the scripture said, then she would have told that friend. I know you called her an old hag, and I don't appreciate you saying that about her. First of all, you don't know her story. Second of all, she is my mama.
Yes.
She is my mama. Mm-hmm. And you don't know the story of how she got that way. It's good that the conductor was there to be able to kind of bring you back in line. Right, but honoring and esteem publicly and privately, that girl should have handled that thing a totally different way. And young people, you have the same opportunity. So don't let anybody just put your parents down.
Amen.
They're your parents. That's how you came to this earth. It's through them. So don't let anybody put your parents down. I don't care what the situation is. Don't let them put your parents
down. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Speak well of them.
Amen.
Seek their wisdom.
Amen.
Esteem them publicly and privately. Support them. Forgive them. Provide for them. These are things you can do. Six practical ways that you can honor your parents.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the word of the Lord. And Father, we just appreciate the opportunity just to be able to kind of go through this. We can glean from it things that we can apply, things that will help our families and help our homes. I pray, oh God, that it won't just go in one ear and out the other, but let us put into action the things that we've heard. It's the enemy's job to come against families. It's his job to destroy them. You're the first one, Father, to have a family. You had Adam and Eve there in the garden. But Lord, the enemy doesn't like the structure of the husband and wife and the children all being in unity. So he does everything he can to destroy it. So I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, just to put your word first and whatever it is that we're facing. Knowing that, Father, we obey the word of God, then the situation will come in line accordingly. We give you all the honor, Father, and praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. The announcements is Sunday morning our prayer service from 9 to 10. And service at 10:30. We actually have tonight, when we break down, brothers, we don't have to take everything out because the school asked us if we would come back and set up on tomorrow night rather than Friday. So we told them that we would do it. So we're just going to have to just put some things in the closet here, and then we'll come back tomorrow night at 6:30, get everything reset up. And the good thing about when we set up tomorrow night, I think we get 2 weeks off. We ain't got to break down for 2 weeks, so we thank God for that. Don't forget service 10:30 on Sunday morning. Our streaming continues through Twitter, Facebook, and our church website, job14.org. And so tonight is the last night that we will be able to give our gift card. Farms. I want to thank all those that have given us farms. Certainly appreciate it. And if you have any tonight, just put them in the box there. We'll be giving those out tomorrow. I was asked by one of the young people whether they were welcome to come and also participate in the give out. I said, sure. They are certainly welcome to come and participate in giving out the gift cards tomorrow at the pantry. Amen. Don't forget, Brother Diggs will be coming here December 31st. Final Sunday of the year, we'll be ministering here, so we'll be looking forward to that. Our giving is through Cash App, Zelle, and PayPal, and Cash App, $SpiritualT, with Zelle and PayPal, and giving at john423.org. We have the mailing address on the bottom of the screen for those that want to mail something in. Again, we thank you all for your giving. Amen. Before we leave tonight, anybody have a testimony or prayer request that they want to share? I want to give room for that tonight before we leave. Okay. Scott, a mic here.
Thank God for answered prayer. Bless me with a job that pays two income, the income of two jobs that I had. And also like to thank God for protecting Zion when she was in an accident last week.
She told me, I have a niece, her name is Brittany, and she's in the hospital, and I believe she was diagnosed with cancer. She's about 13 years old, but from what I understand, they performed a surgery that would remove some of the things that caused the cancer. It was a successful surgery, and they were able to remove everything from her stomach area. So I just want to keep her in prayer that she'd have total healing and deliverance from that.
Amen.
Her name is Brittany.
Anyone else?
Just remember Cousin Grace.
Yes.
Esther.
Yeah, we had a cousin that passed away on Saturday. So you want to the family prayer is certainly not easy, especially during holiday season like this. On the way to church tonight, I got a text from Brother Felix and asked if we were going to remember his wife, Sandra, in prayer. She has really been going through her body, and he said that as of late, she's just having no appetite and doesn't want to eat. And, you know, and said the nurse is just not giving them good news. Saying it just seems like her body is shutting down on her. So we just want to pray for Sister Sandra. We had an opportunity to go and visit them a few weeks ago and pray for her and just encouraged her. And I had a chance to talk to her about salvation. And she said she was certain that if God called her home, she was ready to go.
Amen.
Said, well, you know, it was a win-win situation there. So, you know, God is able, and but we know His perfect will be done. But Brother Felix did ask us to pray, so we'll do that tonight. And then we'll remember that. Yeah, we don't have all the permission. Brother Al Stowell is there in Texas, Jasper, Texas, and I got a text. He was admitted to the hospital because of congestive heart failure. And there was a procedure that his son said that they were thinking they would have to do procedure was they were afraid because of Brother Al's size that they would not be able to do it at that hospital. They'd have to transfer him somewhere else in order to make the procedure. And hopefully, you know, he would respond to that. But I got the text right before service tonight that the doctor came in and said he is improving. And with the improvements that we see, we don't think that procedure, it may not be necessary. We just want to watch and see if his body continues to improve, and then we'll, you know, we'll go from there. So we know God is already starting the answer to prayer and bringing healing to his body. So I want to continue to keep Brother Al in our prayers as well.
Thank you.
All right, let's just bow and work in prayer. Dear God, we are grateful that we are able to come to you with the various needs that we have in our hearts and standing the gap for others, oh God, who might not be able to stand for themselves. We know Brother Al tonight, and we thank you for the good news that you've already done, the touching his body and healing is taking place in him right now. God, we ask that you would raise him up and that you would make him completely whole. The congestive heart failure, God, that whatever it might have caused, that it would be reversed. And Father, that our brother, they may return back to his home from whence he came. We ask that you move on the scene for him. Remember our brother Felix tonight. He needs our prayers. He's asked for it. He asked for his wife, Sandra. God, she's going through it. Even right now, as you mentioned, she's just not desiring to eat. And the nurses are saying they feel like her body's shutting down. But God, we know there's nothing too hard for you. We hear things like this, but it still doesn't stop us from praying and asking you for a mighty move of your spirit. That you raise up Lazarus, and you can raise up Sandra. So God, we just ask that you move on the scene for our precious sister, God, to intervene on our behalf, touch her body, give her back her appetite, God. And Lord, just let her body start responding, Father, to your promise. Amen. If it doesn't respond to the message, let it respond to your promise, oh God. You were wounded for transgressions and bruised for iniquities and chastisement of the peace of the body with your stripes. We declare healing. Father, we also pray for Brittany. God, young lady, God, to be dealing with cancer at this age, and you know, they did this surgery, God, and feel like they got everything. And Father, we know how sometimes when doctors go and touch things, it causes a spread. But through prayer, we are rebuking the spread of cancer in the body. And Father, we ask that you would just put a stop to its growth. And God, that you allow her to completely be made whole, that her body will respond to the surgery, Father, the way it needs to respond. And we just commit Brittany, Father, to your hands and just pray that you would touch her and that you would, Lord, just raise her up for your glory. God, we pray that you bless the saints and they prepare to leave this place without your presence, Lord. We thank you for each and every one that's been able to participate in the giving of the gift cards. And God, as we would go out tomorrow, Lord, just to try to spread some cheer. Lord, may different ones that receive it, may they be blessed by the Lord, the gift cards, and Lord, the little messages that will be sent to them and given to them. May they be blessed, may they be encouraged, may they be strengthened, oh God. And Father, we just ask, let it find us, the card find its way to the right hands.
Yes.
And Lord, may you get all the glory and all the honor from this. Give back to the saints that they've given more from their hearts. Lord, we just thank you for each one. And we just ask, Lord, that you bless us as we leave this place without your presence. Bring us back to the appointed time on Sunday morning, ready to give you glory and honor and praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. God bless you.